Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so can we talk about New Year's resolutions for a second? Honestly, the idea that we need to become a completely new person every January is exhausting. What if it's not about being a new you, but being a less burdened you? That's where therapy comes in. It gives you this unbiased perspective to really understand what's weighing you down, whether that's your relationships, your motivations, or your emotions, which can help clear the path on the way to achieving your personal goals.
Yeah, for me, I've been working on reducing the amount of pressure I put on myself to achieve perfection. It really puts a lot of unnecessary stress on myself and can take the fun out of the things that I enjoy. Therapy could really help with that. And what we love about BetterHelp is how streamlined they make their process. You answer a short questionnaire, and with over 12 years of experience, they match you with a licensed therapist from their network of over 30,000 professionals, and they usually nail it the first time. If not, you can switch anytime. They've helped over 5 million people, and live sessions have a 4.9 out of 5-star rating. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Borahei, Iconic Army.
Borahei.
Since we've talked last, BTS officially announced their full tour, including all of their stops, and they will be here in North America from the end of April to the beginning of September. We are wishing you all good luck with ticketing, the best of luck. We're recording this episode on Monday before tickets go on presale, so we're hoping that both you and our future selves get lucky with ticketing. We're very anxious right now.
Best of luck, everyone. It's scary. I mean, it's just like looming over us. Kayla, I think you sent a video of like Yoongi like looking over and creeping behind the members. Like, yeah, that's it. Like the BTS ticket sales is just like a layer of stress that's just like hanging out until ticketing happens. Yeah. So best of luck. I hope our future selves have tickets too. Yeah. The Global Army membership actually sold out, and it has been crazy to see that. I don't know if it's ever sold out before, but it really shows the extremely high demand for BTS presale codes to get those concert tickets and to attend these concerts worldwide. It's just,
When I saw that on TikTok, I thought it was fake. I was like, no way. Mm-hmm. You can't. It's a virtual membership. You can't sell out mm-hmm. a virtual membership. No, it was not. I went straight to the Weavers app. It was sold out. Surprisingly, the U.S. Army membership is not sold out yet. Mm-hmm. And neither was the Japan one. So just the global membership. But for this round of ticket sales, the global membership works for anywhere and everywhere. So like you could use mm-hmm. that for North America. I thought that was crazy. Like,
yeah,
I did not know that was a possibility. So
I didn't either.
Best of luck to everybody.
Like it's an online membership. Right. It's virtual.
Right. Like it's right. How you can't run out. Exactly. Well, best of luck to everybody who is fighting in Ticketmaster today mm-hmm. or, you know, yesterday, whenever you're listening to this episode. We get to talk about Arirang today and we're excited to get into it. Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we are talking about the history of Arirang. It's been announced that Arirang is BTS's new album that's coming out in March, and Arirang has a lot of history and significance in Korea, and we felt like there's no better time than now to just really dive into that history to prepare for the album for when it comes out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it needs to be talked about. We're so excited to do so. Before we do, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. You can support us even further if you'd like by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Thanks for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening.
Okay, so let's get into Arirang and the history and the cultural significance of it. And there's so much to learn and to dig into. BTS's public history with Arirang started at their 2016 KCON performance in France with M Countdown, in which BTS kicked off a medley of Arirang and led it for the first few minutes before other iconic K-pop groups joined in. BTS's performance of it as they were center stage in the opening ceremony here of KCON even had choreography to go along with it. This opening performance was amazing. I thought it was such a huge, knowing the meaning of Arirang now, like a huge way to celebrate Korean culture, and to see all of these French fans, or perhaps fans that, you know, traveled to be there, screaming and cheering and being so excited, hearing this song and seeing all of these amazing K-pop artists come together to perform this song, I think was such an important cultural moment. Just a side note too about this being used as an opening performance, it was also, this song Arirang was used during the Parade of Nations during the 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics as North and South Korea marched together. So it's not the first time that the song has been used as a opener, and I'm sure that it won't be the last. But just very cool to see that BTS have performed this song before.
Yeah. And I feel like it was such an honor for them to be the ones to sing this song before all of the other Korean K-pop acts ended up coming in and singing along with them. Like, it just says a lot. They also, in this version of Arirang, they added an additional new verse that the verse said, "Protected for a million years, pride and dignity overcame everything. Never once broken, one big step starting right here where the bright sun rises." And it just feels very intentional that BTS would add this additional verse in there to make it reflect a little bit more of their story, and just maybe to reflect some of the stories of the other K-pop acts that are there, just like continuing to have a lot of pride and dignity, even through some hardships, and that they're, I don't know, like looking on to a brighter future, like the bright sun rises.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving forward. Super cool to see it. The choreography is fantastic. As a very prideful, seasoned army, I have to say, I had not seen this performance until Arirang was announced, and then it was blowing up all over my feed. I'm like, how on earth have I not seen this performance from BTS, when Kayla, you and I have seen performances from them at the 2016 France M Countdown?
Right.
So like, how did we miss this?
Right. We've seen other ones from literally the same event, but not this one. I felt the same way. I saw it on my feed and I was like, what? What? How? Mm-hmm. First of all, like, this is so cool that they've done this, but also, how have we not seen this before? Like, we are at this point, I mean, I think we can call ourselves OG Army for how long we've been in the fandom. And just not knowing about this, I think, was shocking and also, like, wonderful to still be, like, discovering new content
from them, especially content from 10 years ago.
Yeah. Very cool. Very awesome. And cool that they, you know, them and the other groups added their own verse to Arirang at the time.
Yes, which is very Arirang to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we'll get into the history of this folk song.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that, because where BTS had performed it is really just the tip of the iceberg for all of the tradition and history that this song represents. So we did gather some information from Jinwoo Park on TikTok and also UNESCO's list of intangible cultural heritage. This song is a Korean traditional folk song, and it has multiple versions that's been passed down. Before it was ever written down, it was orally passed down, and it's considered an unofficial national anthem in Korea.
Yeah, it's kind of changed and morphed through the time, and through different regions and communities in Korea have shaped the song in many different ways. And it's often referred to as the people's song. We got a lot of information, too, from Hyboy on YouTube. And in his review of Arirang, he referred to Arirang as an emotionally loaded song about longing, separation, endurance, and finding your way back. So there are three main Arirangs that are the tunes that are most known, but there are approximately 3,600 versions of Arirang that have been officially confirmed, and that there are likely many more. Like, I wonder if, like, BTS's Arirang that they performed, like, is that thrown in there into the 3,600 confirmed, or right. is it one that isn't even being accounted for? So it just shows that, like, this folk song has really been adapted many, many ways. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of different versions of this song. And so it has a simple melody that makes it very easy to adapt and change and sing along to, which again has allowed the song to evolve through all of this time and never being frozen and stuck in one period.
Yeah.
In time, you know, like, it continues to be relevant and fresh.
Yeah, very cool that because of the melody and how people use it, it's kind of called the collective memory of the Korean people, and it's a living, breathing cultural aspect of Korean culture. UNESCO said that it's a great virtue. The great virtue of Arirang itself is its respect for human creativity, freedom of expression, and empathy. Everyone can create new lyrics, adding to the song's regional, historical, and genre variations and cultural diversity. So that is just, to me, really cool for what this song represents and its impact that has had over, you know, hundreds of years that, and perhaps longer, that it's been used and sang and evolving, and how Korean people use it to express so many emotions such as longing, sorrow, joy, grief, hardship, change, and Arirang itself being something that anyone can add their own verse to. And, you know, as long as you have that chorus, the Arirang chorus, you can change the words, you can, you know, change the tune. It's not something that you can complete. It's something that you add to and pass along. You don't hold on to it yourself. You add to it and you pass it along. And I think that's so beautiful.
It is very beautiful. Yeah. I feel like there's nothing quite like that.
Like, yeah.
I think it's unique in that it's a song that's been passed down and it's been adapted. That's just a part of it. Like, I can't think of a U.S. equivalent, really.
No, and not only that it's just passed down, but it continues to change and evolve with the times and with the people. And, like, it seems like for Korean people and their identity, whatever they're going through at that point in history, there is an Arirang for that time and for those people. And so it becomes, like, this landmark of its own on, like, a timeline.
Yeah, very special. So for linguistic and symbolic meaning of the song, linguistic historians believe that Ari meant beautiful and Rang referred to beloved one, meaning that together the term means my beloved one. The first findings of this song go back to a 1756 manuscript. So this has been around for hundreds of years. The legend of the origin of the first Arirang is a story of a bachelor and a maiden meeting while picking camellia blossoms by a body of water called Araji?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is basically where two rivers meet. And this name comes from a Korean word meaning in harmony or to meet. And so the first legend is that the bachelor can't cross the river because it's too high. The water's too high. And so him and the maiden sing the song out of sorrow to one another that they can't be connected because this river is too high for them to get to each other. And then the second legend is he attempts to cross the river, but he ends up drowning on his way. And while he's like drowning and dying, he sings out this very sorrowful song, Arirang. And it's a moment that kind of just shows that the longing for one another, but not being able to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though this song like originally is sorrowful, the song itself is not just sorrowful alone. Like it's a song that is very multifaceted in the emotions that it can hold. So High Boy talked a lot about how the song can hold pain and endurance together, and that it allows people to live alongside hardship, and that it's a part of the human experience, but like both things can exist, like the longing, the hardship, but also the enduring through it. It's often sung when separation is happening. It acknowledges separation that coincided, like it also accepts the loss of that separation, but not losing the connection between mm-hmm. the people. Yeah. So it's just, there's just a lot of meaning for this song. Like it brings up moments of pride, history, separation, and return to one another.
Yeah. And you can really see based on like the two versions of like the first Arirang, the two legends, whichever mm-hmm. one it could have been, how that story can represent those feelings. Mm-hmm. Especially like the endurance, living alongside hardship, I think, and that the separation, you know, the separation and return. I think it's so cool that it has like this lore, you know, of how it yeah. was, you know, potentially began. Historians believe that the song spread to Seoul when workers from Gangwon came to the region to rebuild a palace during the Joseon period. So that's about the late 1860s, like early 1870s when this was happening. Another meaning of Arirang developed during that time, or is theorized by linguistic historians from during that time, meaning that it means cannot be separated from loved ones, because it was used by workers as they were being taken by officials from their homes and from their hometowns to go build this palace. So they would be singing this song, you know, on their journey or as they were working, as a way of feeling connected and close to the loved ones that they left behind. We also found some translations of some lyrics. This is just one version, but Arirang, Arirang, Ario, you are going over the Arirang Hill. My love, if you abandon me, your feet will be sore before you go Tenri. Just as there are many stars in the clear sky, there are also many dreams in our heart. There, over there, that mountain is Bakdu Mountain, where even in the middle of winter days, flowers bloom. So that's a chorus, like a very well-known chorus of Arirang. And when we read this and we got to the end of it, we were like, what is more BTS coded mm-hmm. than these lyrics? Where even in the middle of winter days, flowers bloom. This is, I mean, these could be lyrics from Spring Day right there. Mm-hmm. So
yes, we were like, it's like HYYH part three, but like it exceeds that, you know, right. Arirang, this like connection with these lyrics of, yeah, it's very BTS coded winter days.
Yeah.
Even and in the middle of winter days, flowers bloom.
Arirang is their first Korean titled album since the HYYH albums. So
oh.
Ooh, a little connection oh. there too.
I had not thought of that. Wow, how special. Yeah, but you can see in these lyrics how, like, there's so many ways that you can translate this. You can see it as, like, a moment of hope, mm-hmm. the fear of separation or the fear of abandonment. Yeah, the mention of dreams in our hearts, right. just feeling very optimistic and right. hopeful for the future, too.
Definitely. Yeah.
It is very like BTS, going back to just using Arirang as a title for their album. It's just very like BTS to use Korean tradition and to never really erase their history and where they come from. We've talked a lot on this podcast about how much they've leaned into their Korean culture and their art, like in their music and their fashion. They have songs that have provided a lot of Korean elements throughout their career, like Idol. We immediately think of Idol. I really think of Daeshwita. I feel mm-hmm. like Daeshwita was like one Korean history lesson when we did that episode. They wear a hanbok, you know, they just provide a lot of context to their music with the representation of Korean culture yeah. within it. Yeah.
Saying that they are proudly Korean and that's mm-hmm. who BTS are to their core. A story kind of related to BTS, we want to talk about the first recording of Arirang and the parallels that the story has to BTS, because this has been popping around the internet lately. All information we're going to talk about here is from an article written by Karis Lee titled "Before K-pop There Was the Arirang, the First Korean Students at Howard University." So this article was written a few years ago. I'm sure she's wondering why it's getting so much traffic and hits
now. She wrote it in like 2020.
Yeah. She was ahead of her time, a visionary. Yeah. But in 1896, seven young Korean men from noble families fled the country after robbing a bank. They fled to Vancouver, where they ran out of money, leaving them stranded. These were Im Bang-gu, Lee Bum-soo, Kim Young-sik, An Jung-sik, Ai Bung-hoon, and then two unnamed members. But they were stranded there in Vancouver. They had run out of money. I think they stole at the time like 400. It wasn't even Korean won at the time, that they didn't even use that currency. But, you know, so we can't translate that amount of money. But they ran out. The runaways telegraphed the Korean envoy and minister to the U.S., Soo Kwon-bum, and he sympathized with their story and got them enrolled at Howard University, which is a HBCU in DC. A few stories of them that remain suggest that the students were best known for their musical abilities. They didn't have many English skills. A lot of mm-hmm. what they could do is English that they picked up over their travels, or like miming and communicating through acting things out. But there was one time where they were at like a concert hall and these men were surrounded by a dozen, quote, persuasive damsels who begged them to sing. And they mm-hmm. did. And it kind of took off. Like, people wanted to hear them sing and were excited about it.
That's what they became known for. Yeah. People wanted to hear them. So on July 24th, 1896, a American ethnologist named Alice Fletcher invited three of these Korean students into her home in Washington, D.C. to produce the first recording of the Korean Arirang. And so they ended up recording a total of 11 songs, and three of them happened to be the three different versions of Arirang. And so what is so fascinating about this is that today the six-cylinder recordings can be requested at the Library of Congress in their folklore reading room. You can also find it on YouTube. You can go and listen to it. It's just fascinating to hear Arirang being sung back in 1896 with its first recording, and that the recording happened in the States, which is also very fascinating. Mm-hmm. So someone in the comments of like the YouTube video, if you go and listen to it on YouTube,
we'll link it that in the description.
But someone in the comments of this YouTube video mentioned that the melody for one of them is the Gu Arirang and not the Icheon Arirang. So it's interesting and cool that like 130 years later that Koreans today like can still identify the tune, where it's from, what version it is. Like, it just shows that like from what we've heard in from Korean Americans and from Koreans talking about Arirang, that like when they heard the title, it, like, there's a lot of emotion that is brought up with it. Like, they immediately know what it is. Mm-hmm. They can think of, like, their mother singing it to them, or their grandfather singing it to them, or, like, events that they've gone to where they've heard it being sung. Like, there's just such a strong rooted connection, like everyone knows it. So yeah, the comment section had quite a few armies commenting in it, and you know, from a couple days ago, you know, like right. It's all real recent when this recording happened in 1896.
Right.
How cool to see this like piece of history resurface.
I love when BTS like teaches us history.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the first time, and it definitely won't be the last, but for us to be listening to a recording from 1896 that can only be found, like, apparently here on this one YouTube link and also in the Library of Congress, like,
yeah,
how cool. And that it has
such... Do you think someone's requested it?
Someone
the
has.
Library of Congress?
There's definitely DC Army who had some time this weekend, and they went to the Library of Congress and requested it, for sure.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure. What's so interesting with Arirang is it obviously has a ton of historical and cultural significance in Korea, but then also weirdly the States, because like we said, the oldest and the first recording of it ever was done in DC and is housed at the Library of Congress. But another time that this was used in the US was the US Army's 7th Infantry Division adopted Arirang as its official march song in May 1956 after receiving permission from the first president of South Korea, Syngman Rhee. The division had been stationed in South Korea from 1950 to 1971. During the Korean War period, and so they obviously learned about Arirang during their time there, asked for permission from the Korean president to use it as their marching song, and used it as their marching song. So there were for sure like American vets walking around here. They may even still be living, and they know this Arirang song from their army days.
Yeah. Like, how interesting to not only love this song as, like, being a, like, someone in Korea adoring this song and just having it be sung to by family members, but then also to be here in the States and, like, these damsels are like, oh my God, like, please sing more.
Please sing for us.
We love it. Yeah, let's record this. We love this so much. And then even for U.S. military to hear it while stationed in Korea and love it so much too, to ask for permission to have it be a part of like a marching song.
Yeah. And for them to do that, you know that they understood the cultural significance of the song, what it meant. Maybe they were adding their own verses to it also, which is such a cool idea. Another time that this was adopted in the U.S. was an American composer, John Barnes Chance, based his 1962 and 1963 concert band composition, Variations on a Korean Folk Song, was the title of it, on a version of Arirang that he heard in Korea in the late 1950s. So being influenced by Arirang to create further art back here in the States for it to be played by a symphony orchestra. Very, very cool. And of course, we already talked about that it is the recording, the original recording is held in the Library of Congress.
Library of Congress, yeah.
So much overlap between the U.S. and Korea here with Arirang, like a connection with Arirang, which we didn't expect to discover.
Yeah, because we also see when we talk about the parallels with BTS, like BTS is also such a strong connection with like being huge in, I mean, they're Korean and they're huge in the States. Like their music is so well loved here too. Like it just feels like it parallels so perfectly with Arirang's influence as well.
Yeah, we are the damsels now in 2026.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just sparks so many parallels in our minds to BTS. Like, BTS are also 7 men. They create Korean music that has such impact here. Their whole story of their career, you know, we've talked about their humble beginnings many times and how much they've went through is one of longing and grief and sorrow, much like Arirang narrates as well, but also one of vast hope and endurance, just like the song narrates. We also have talked about and theorized about the impact that their time apart during military service would have on them. And it seems like this feeling of separation from each other, but also from Army and from their, you know, their careers could also parallel the original legend of Arirang being separated from Army and being separated from each other.
We
really reflected on how much we feel like Arirang is even more fitting for BTS. The term has such a heavy weight to it, but their journey really resonates with it. And who else would be deserving of taking this song, this Korean folk song with such significance, and naming a K-pop album
only
with this
BTS.
Title only BTS.
It's only BTS who could have done this. Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible.
And you know they're going to do it so well. Like, it's going to be a phenomenal, legendary album that will stand the test of time.
Absolutely. You know they are.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about what we know about the album so far and what we're expecting. So on January 16th, there was an OT7 Weverse Live. Definitely go and watch it, guys, if you haven't already, because any OT7 Weverse Live, you need to be watching.
We're blessed.
You know? Yes, yes. But BT addressed that their album title was out and said fans may be wondering, what is Arirang or why Arirang now? And they said that the secret will slowly be revealed or will make sense on March 20th. RM went on to explain that they were thinking about, quote, what makes us BTS? And since all seven of them are Korean and that ties them together from the beginning, they thought it would be a good idea to have a title that symbolizes Korea too, which I think so many fans can really appreciate because we've seen their Korean themes and elements always prominent in their music. And so it just is like, it feels really strong going into this album, makes us very excited to see what they're going to show it, what else they're going to show us in the album. But he notes that everyone has a different interpretation of the word, but to him, it symbolizes wistfulness, longing, and love, things they all thought about a lot while in the army. He says that it holds all the emotions of life and reflects both joys and sorrows. It's a very complex word.
Yes. I mean, it's what we've spent this entire, you know, episode trying to define. What is Arirang? And to give us a concept, you know, the cultural understanding of it. The way that he described it, for his personal meaning of it representing wistfulness, longing, and love, I'm just like, this is HYYH. Like, they don't have to name it HYYH Part 3 for it to be so. Because is that not... like the main themes of emotions that were portrayed in those albums.
Seriously. The most beautiful moment in life. Yeah.
Come
I was
on.
Just thinking, like, how would I just like with how they keep describing Arirang, it just makes me feel like it's like the human experience. It's like the life experience. It's the good, the bad, the longing, the connection, the separation. Like, it's just a part of humanity, of what we go through, the like trials and tribulations. But how do you put that into one singular word, you know, Arirang? It's like a matured version of HYYH.
Right. There you go. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They also recalled in their Weverse Live, they recalled performing Arirang at KCON in 2016. And a couple of them stood up and did the choreo. I think like J-Hope and Jungkook, they were like, oh, you remember the choreo? And they did it. Super cute.
Yeah.
And they all commented that they just find it interesting that here 10 years later they're able to do an album about it. I think they feel really grateful, and they definitely feel the weight of the meaning of Arirang. You know, they did not take this name for an album title lightly, so it's like they want to add, even though in 2016 they added a verse to it, they already added their own verse to Arirang, now they're like adding a whole series of songs to what is Arirang. Jungkook talked about as well that he designed the album's logo, those three symbols that we were all last week just racking our brains about what they could possibly mean. He said the members kind of teased him about how much he was obsessing over these, always on his iPad, like drawing up different versions, but he made four official initial mock-ups and sent them to the company, the band did address that a lot of armies thought that it was hello, and they were like, hello? Why would they think it was hello? They were like, well, if you rearrange it, it looks like hello. And because Jin kept saying hello in that Weverse live,
yes.
And Jin was like, what are you talking about? Like, he didn't remember doing that. He was like, that's just like an introduction. What are you talking about? Uh-huh. I'm not convinced. He could be playing dumb. It could still be a title on the album, or like, uh-huh, really he was just being off the wall. But RM said that actually the symbols of, like, the red symbols actually represent the consonants of Arirang, and he was kind of surprised that nobody put that together, that, like, yeah, we should have. And yeah, maybe Korean Army did put it together and we didn't see it because we're not, like, on that side of Twitter.
Yeah, we just didn't reach us. Yeah, yeah.
But he, according to his knowledge, nobody really figured it out.
Well, I think Jungkook did a fantastic job, yeah, with the artistry behind it, because it is so cool looking. The symbols, I mean, you can tell that a lot of effort went into it. It stands out. Yeah. Yeah,
I agree. It definitely has a big impact. They talked about that they each made over 10 different songs for the album. As a group, they made over 100 songs to choose from. And they knew they wanted a large album. They were like, this is the first album, first full-length album since Map of the Soul. Like, we need, you know, they settled on 14 songs, felt like a good amount. And they collectively chose their favorite 14. But they said those other songs aren't just going to disappear, that some of them might end up on solo albums, which really stood out to me, because Bethany, you and I theorized at the beginning of this year that we weren't going to get any solo albums this year. This is the year of BTS. But perhaps a couple of them may have enough songs from these leftovers and also from other ones they may have been making. Maybe in the latter part of this year, they might drop a solo album. Maybe next year, they might drop a few solo albums. So we will have to wait and see on that one. But it's exciting that they feel like these songs are so good that they had such, they could narrow it down. They're really proud of these ones, and they have even more that they love.
Yeah. You have to think about when you've got 100 songs to choose from, like, there has to be so many, like, fantastic options, but to, like, narrow it down to the 14 best, it makes me very excited for just how magnificent this album is going to be. Like, they are doing the best of the best songs for this album. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They talked about how there's various emotions that are going to be portrayed in the album. They said they've all listened to this album a lot and that they don't get tired of it. Jungkook saying that he usually doesn't listen to albums before they come out, but he is with this one. Like, he can't help it. Like, he likes it so much, he has to go and listen to it. And that all of their favorite songs keep changing. That it's just, they love all of it so much that it's hard to pick just one. Kayla, you're going to really struggle. Probably.
Oh my god, you're
gonna pick a favorite.
You're gonna be like texting me the morning it comes out and be like, what's your favorite song? This one's mine. And I'm gonna be like, oh my god, I can't. I'm gonna have such issues. I'm gonna have to, like, meditate over what my favorite song is to figure it out. I'm gonna have to have a therapy appointment just to discover it. I do love that they mentioned that they're all listening to the album. And I love how real they were in that moment. They were like, oh, like, sometimes, you know, obviously they're artists, they love all their songs, but, like, if you're going to perform a song on tour for a year, you might get tired of that song, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were just like, we can't see ourselves getting tired of this song. Like, we're listening to it right now, even though we know we're going to tour with it this whole year. But, like, we love it. We can't not listen to it. So
they can't help themselves.
Damn.
It must be addictive.
Like, yeah.
Songs must be addictive.
Oh my god, it's gonna be.
Yeah.
Dang, part
Yuki two. Yuki says that the album is totally different than their other ones, which makes me very excited. He says it's got some of their style and charm still. And Jimin said that he let his parents even hear it, and his dad said the songs are truly you, and that they're becoming adults. I don't know, something about hearing Jimin's dad say that just, like, melts my heart.
Yeah, I thought that was adorable. And also, like, I mean, there must just be more mature themes on this album, or perhaps, like, sexier song or something like that, that would get him to say that comment. You know, you guys are becoming adults. Either way, just very grown up and very mature. RM says that the album is like this Korean cold noodle dish that he mentioned, which is a noodle dish that's like buckwheat noodles in a mild icy broth topped with various pickled veggies. And I looked up what this dish like kind of represents, and it's a really refreshing dish, and it's a dish where there's not supposed to be any very strong flavors so that all of the different flavors can really shine through naturally. In Korean culture, it also represents longevity, which I thought went along with the theme of arirang, and also hospitality. And this dish is also on UNESCO's list of intangible cultural heritage. So I feel like with RM, he was just saying like, this album is refreshing. It's their true colors shining through. The way he described the dish too was like, you know, it really makes you think while you're eating it. So I think that he was saying or communicating, it's going to make us think while we're consuming this album, which gives me hopes for like incredible lyrics. Yeah, as always. As he was talking about this too, Jungkook sitting right next to him was like, isn't that kind of a big hint to relate it to this dish? So I don't know, maybe he's saying more than we understand at the time with that it parallel.
It might be a lyric somewhere.
Maybe
it might be a song title. It might, but it's a big hint. So something related to that for sure on the album.
Yeah.
They definitely are highly anticipating the tour. They all talked about how they can't believe it's been 6 years since their last world tour, that they're both nervous and excited. RM says that he'll definitely cry when he gets on stage. Like, so much. How has it been 6 years?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that they did, like, Permission to Dance in L.A. and in Vegas and that one concert in Busan before they enlisted. But as far as, like, a whole tour, a full-fledged world tour, yeah, I think the last one would have been Speak Yourself.
Oh, my God.
That hurts to say.
Man, rest in peace, Map of the Soul. Like, I always think back to that.
Gold level soundcheck tickets to Map of the Soul.
That's the kind of energy we're taking in to ticketing.
We need it.
On Thursday.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Man, also for them to say, like, especially the members who have toured on their own, like J-Hope and Yoongi and Jin, J-Hope mentioned something like, it'll be interesting to be on stage back with everyone else, you know, because they've had recent experiences with touring as a solo act. But just to be able to share the stage again, to rely on each other, to enjoy, you know, the energy together, I think will definitely bring all of that emotion forward in each of them. With the announcement of the album title, Arirang, the 2026 BTS website has also been updated. It appears as though they are slowly revealing the album cover, where it looks like it has all seven members sitting in two rows, and all you can really make out right now is like suits. Like, you can see like a white shirt and a tie in front of it, and everything else is kind of grayed out, smoky grayed out. But to me, just seeing this, it's giving Festa family photo. Like, every year, we would always look forward to when they posted these photos for Festa. And of course, this past year, we did not get them because they were not out of the military yet to be able to take these photos. So we got like cute photos of Jin and J-Hope dressing up as each other's eras, but we didn't get the traditional suits sitting straight forward in chairs Festa family photo. So fucking iconic to make a photo of themselves. The album cover,
yeah.
Because there has never been a photo for them as an album cover. It has always been, like, a design. So that would be a huge change up. It's also really cool on the website. If you're on a desktop and you hover over, or if you're on your phone and you click over where the member's face would be, they each share a message with us about the album, first in Korean and then in English. And Bethany, when I tell you, when I discovered this, I was freaking the fuck out. Like,
I was just, it's hidden.
Yes.
It's not obvious.
No. And so I mean, we didn't want to tell you guys what it was, because you should go and listen for yourself if you haven't, because it is amazing just to like straight to your ears, their voices talking about the album. It's very exciting and very cool for them to do this as like teasers to roll it out.
Yeah. And also too, I was just thinking back, like, how have they not had an album with their faces on it yet? It just fascinates me. It's not until you think about it that you're like, oh yeah, there aren't any albums with their faces on it.
Yeah, it's all been designs. Yeah.
So album pre-order is already completely sold out on Weverse. It looks like there's three versions of the album. There's the Rooted in Music version, Rooted in Korea version, and Living Legend version. And so each member too has their own vinyl. So we're thinking that the vinyl covers will be like a headshot of each member, since there's a headshot of them all together for the album, and then for all the members to have their own vinyl. It would just kind of like make sense.
It would work.
Like, to have a headshot of them.
But I want like a super hot or super beautiful headshot, you know, that's going to floor you when you see it.
How cool.
Yeah.
How cool. But for each of the members, they all have a different color vinyl. So RM is silver, Jin is pink, Yoongi's clear, Hobi's cream, Tae is red, Jimin is burgundy, Jungkook is orchid. And so, yeah, we're expecting that this album is really going to be BTS and their roots and celebrating their Korean culture and who they are as individuals and as a group. And just all of the themes that we see with Arirang, like all of the meanings that we get with Arirang, like separation, longing, hardship, perseverance, like we feel that that's joy. Going to be a lot of the themes held within this album.
Yeah. I really want to talk about for a second, too, the names of the versions that they're putting out. Like, Rooted in Music, Rooted in Korea, and Living Legend. Like, Rooted in Korea is so great for the title of Arirang. Rooted in Music is so cool because we always talk about, like, why do we love BTS? When people ask us that question, why do you love BTS? Their music. Like, yes, there's so many other things that go along with them. Their personalities are great. They are beautiful people. They are super hot. You know, like, really so many reasons to love them. But
great dancers, entertainers. Yeah.
Right. The core of it is their music and what they make. So I love that they named one Rooted in Music. And then, like, I love the, like, audaciousness of doing Living Legend and, like, acknowledging that that's what they are. And like claiming it and being proud of it instead of like shying away from the weight of that. I feel like that's a change that we saw in them over these last couple years, is that they really like were like, we're going to own that we have this crown. So I think I'm going to have to buy all three versions of the album.
Yeah, me too. I think so. Yeah. And I do love that they are claiming that title of Living Legend. And I mean, it's not even... It still somehow is humble. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I think they just...
It's the least they can say, honestly.
Know that if they don't... I feel like if they don't confidently live in that right now, that they'll continue to, like, to have internal struggle.
Right, that's true. Yeah. You know? I know I will be buying... likely at least two of the vinyls. Like, I mean... I know that I'm going to see like Jimin and RMs, and I'm going to be like, oh, I need those actually, because I do have a record player.
I don't know who I'm going to get. I might have to get all seven.
I saw on Weverse you can get all seven for $225. I was like, if I wasn't buying tickets this week.
You got to think about that down the road. But
yeah, those are definitely ones that, especially once they're revealed, I'm going to be dying over them. So. Yeah, BTS giving us a lot to look forward to and giving us an entire historic and cultural lesson about the meaning and significance of Arirang. We are so grateful. We are so excited to see what this album holds and to continue to discover the meaning of Arirang through BTS's music.
This is what we love. This is what this podcast is like.
This is literally what we live for, you guys.
Yeah.
We would love to hear your thoughts on Arirang and BTS's upcoming album, and also reach out to us about your ticket sales experience. Let us know what went wrong, what went amazing. Hopefully, fingers crossed for you all that you got what you wanted. We would love to hear it both in the Spotify comments and also in our Instagram. You can let us know there. But you can find links, of course, for all of the things and the resources that we referenced in this episode in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.